So why don't we use the time well and just take a minute to acknowledge that we made it now, that we are here. And as we're coming together around Path of Liberation, level 5, the Vaibhav Tara practice, we can bring Tara to mind in the space in front of us. And feel Tara's presence. Bringing to mind what it is that Tara represents. How she's the embodiment of wisdom, love, and strength. And how she is no separate from us. How that too is our true nature. And we can go to refuge for refuge to Tara. And forming the wish that we and all beings may recognize the Buddha within, the Tara within. And imagining that Tara melts into light and melt into us. Take a moment to rest in this open love. Okay. So very good to see you and to have this opportunity to connect around the practice, level 5 practice, the White Tara practice. I think some of you I've met before, and maybe there are some who are new. But it's lovely to see you. And as you know, these sessions are really an opportunity for us to come together around this practice and, you know, how it's going for us, to share something about maybe what is inspiring for us, but also if there's any challenges. Mark, let me see. Oh. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. So I'll go out for the telephone call and then I will come back. So I really would love to be with this present you're sharing.
You're welcome back whenever you
Sorry for
can.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's
Thank you.
yeah, today is a day of unexpected things. So, is there anyone who has something that you would like to bring up, or you would like to share about how it's going with your practice, or anything that you would like us to touch upon? I don't know if you all saw that on the Vajrayana website, they have uploaded the practices that Rinpoche guided during the last Path of Liberation retreat in November. And, many people have talked about how beautiful and helpful they found those guided meditations. And it's wonderful that we now have them up as a resource. Yeah, if you haven't seen that, it may be something that you can look into.
Well, Jilla shares something small. So I practiced Vaitara until 2 years ago for a few years. And I now went on to the pointing out instructions. But I saw this happening with you. And I really would like to hear and to be connected with what you and what will be shared. So therefore, I don't have practical things now to ask. I'm sorry for that, but I'm happy at Vail when we are sharing at all about the subject. Already your introduction was, wow, oh, I'm going to do Vaitara again. That's so appealing. So I don't have
Wonderful.
specific questions. So.
Yeah, wonderful. And yeah, I think it's, that's also the life of a Vajrayana practitioner, isn't it? That we may be doing a practice for a period of time and then we do other practices. And then sometimes we come back to practices that we've done before. And then that can be just like, reconnecting with a good friend. It can be very nourishing because it's like, all the time we spend with that practice and everything that happened, that is not something that's lost. It's actually something that has made a deep imprint in us. So there's something beautiful in having that opportunity also.
Oh, you said very beautiful. You're putting it in very beautiful words. So, meeting an old friend, and I'm longing to do this practice again. To connect more, because I also can need it in this. Quite some heavy times now in my life, so perhaps it's not a coincidence that I meet you now. This sharing,
Let's see if there's somebody who wants to share something. Otherwise, I would comment a little bit about times also when this may be a really helpful practice. Anyone who has something you would like to share?
I just saw the new video with both Mingyur Rinpoche and Lama Trinley. And I saw it late last night, so I just saw some of it, but I'm really, really grateful. It's really helpful. So I feel like I can begin the visualizations, which I haven't been doing, because now I can kind of see, I can see what it looks like. That really is helpful for me. So this is a new practice for me. So I'm just a beginner here.
Great, great. And it is extremely helpful to have some support. It's helpful. A sadhana practice is a guided meditation also, isn't it? It is something that's where we're being told what is happening and what how to be and what to connect with. But also to have Rinpoche guide us is extremely helpful. And Lama Trinley's teaching with where he's also using the different slides with the pictures, it can be really helpful. If we and the only thing is not to get too stuck on it because but we know that, right? So but there it's helpful. It's helpful to give us that space and time. And I Mark, you were talking about, there are different times in our lives, and there may be, times when things are tough for us or whatever. And I was last week actually, I was in Africa, and I was doing a lot of white Tara practice there out in the environment. And you know, I was some places where also a lot of things have happened, you know, on the land and for people. And it was just really so, it was just so beautiful to have the support of that practice and to know that, you know, it's a very peaceful practice. It is a, you know, all the practice, the essence is the same, right? The essence of all the practices are the same. But to have this, to do this practice in that environment and to really have that motivation to, it was very easy to see the surroundings because I, you know, it was like a paradise. So it's very easy to see it like a pure land, but also to really have that, you know, that motivation of sharing, you know, when radiating out the light and how everything would become Tara, but also to reabsorb into the Tam all the essence of all the elements of everything and of vitality. It was just, it was really, really a powerful practice for me to do in that environment also. And I felt so, I just felt so grateful to have these practices that, you know, in on one level they can seem a little bit foreign and like related to a specific culture, but when we really do them and bring them into life, then I think this, it's very easy to see how what they're talking about is actually our reality. This is actually what we can see, and this is actually what we can do. Yeah, so I was very grateful. Is there anything, Dorothy, that you would like to bring or Taylor or anyone else? Hello. I think you're muted.
Myself. Yeah, I think one of the things that they put up on the White Tara side, I call it the essence practice of White Tara with Rinpoche, was really the most profound for me. Way of doing it. I can't duplicate it, but it's sort of in my head now when I'm doing the practice. And I go back and listen to it every once in a while. It was just very profound for me. I'll just add that.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I think what you're saying, the essence practice, right? So
Yeah,
something
that's what
that
it was.
really, yeah, something that really helps us to connect with the essence of it. And once.
It makes the words and the practice deeper, because I think of it when I'm at certain parts, and it's been very helpful to me.
Great. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is sort of the, that's the transmission also, isn't it? So from Rinpoche, through the transmission, we get a glimpse, we get a taste of the essence, we get in touch with the essence, and then we have that security in what it is that we're training in. So that, yeah, that's wonderful that we're very fortunate that we have this.
Yeah.
So now, did you start the White Tarot practice? When did you start it? And here in November?
I started it a few years ago, actually, but it was sort of intermittent. And then the last, I haven't finished the retreat part, but I finished all the others. And I mean, it's really true. The more you get the teachings from him, even if it's on the same thing, it always opens a different layer. And I just felt at the last transmission, I mean, at the last teachings that he did when he did what I call the essence practice of White Tara, I just thought it was, it just really hit me. It kind of brought me to a different experience of a more confidence, I think. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. It's visualization for me I can talk it, but I can't see it. Mm-hmm. So, but it's helped that too. It's just, I can't say it enough, I guess. That's why I was so glad I played it when you could, for the first two months, I played it quite a few times. And then when I found it on the website so that I could access it anytime I wanted, I was very grateful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm glad that they picked that, there's only a couple of things they picked out, and I think that was very good.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And I think it's lovely also that we have some who are new to the practice, and we have some here who've been doing it for some years, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good for us to hear, because we know that, but to hear it again and again, how these practices are some that keep giving, right? They keep revealing. It's not something that we just get, but it's really something that they're very nuanced, and we are very nuanced, and that they can keep opening up, keep opening up, keep opening up. And like you say, also then, we have the same teachings maybe, but they, because of our practice, they land in a very new way in us. And that's really wonderful. Yeah. So that's, I think that's encouraging for all of us, because sometimes in the beginning, we may feel like giving up because of the complexity, and because we struggle with learning all the details. But so it's very wonderful to hear that, something will happen if we stay with these practices. They will bring us in touch with ourselves in a new way. We will get in touch with our own qualities. Yeah, that's really wonderful.
I'm thinking of this as a comparison to the mandala practice, because that felt like, oh, this is too complicated to do, and oh, I can't do it. And then finally I started, okay, just start. So I started, and it was a little slow in the beginning. And then I made it my own. Once I made it my own, it started to open up. And it was really pretty dramatic how different it was at the end of the 100,000. It was very dramatic. And so, I just know to be patient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Know to be patient. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very good experience to have, that you've already been working with some practices that in the beginning were not so familiar. And how familiarity is something that we grow into, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's exactly what practice is, to become familiar with. So, So
to make it my own.
Yeah.
To make it my own. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the way I did mandala practice is not the way anybody else did it, But yeah.
Yeah, enjoy your phone call. Yeah. So anything that would be helpful for us to touch upon today? So maybe to share something about what are other ways of keeping the practice alive. So one is like we have these resources up on the website also, and we can find it really helpful to go over the guided meditation with Rinpoche and so forth. But what are some of the other ways that you find that is supportive in keeping the practice alive?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, I've just been trying to connect and been moving around a bit. But I've really found that, I mean, I agree with everybody how difficult it was at the beginning. I did the my Tara practice on a, you know, one of the, I think the weekend, one of the first weekend retreats, and had no real experience with, very little experience with sadhana practice and nothing with the white Tara. And it was like drinking from a fire hose. I really just had no, it was just so over my head. And even through the whole weekend, I just never really got it. And people were, we were practicing the sadhana and the teachers that were helping us with it, it was just going so fast. I couldn't get it. The white Tara mantras, all the mantras, they just were. So by the end of that, I was, I realized I hadn't made much progress at all. But I went to another one, the second one, and then it started to clear up. I started to practice it, even though I made so many mistakes, and gradually it started to seep in. And now I see it, I'm certainly far from doing it perfectly, but I've been able to, but I, what I consider it, nature of mind practice, really. I don't see it as, I mean, I would rather just sit in nature of mind practice and just, you know, but this, doing this, there's a, you know, they connect, they they become kind of the same thing, and it does have a certain amount that flows through after formal meditation, particularly the visualization of that we end with the returning to the visualization of ourselves as White Tara, and then we say the dedication, and I think it really is a powerful way to connect with nature of mind practice. So it's not like it's separate from that. It is, I always thought, well, I'm doing that over here and then I'm doing White Tara over here, but they're not, they're interconnected. And so I now like doing it. I'll do it at least once or twice a week. I don't do the feast, this part, but the rest of it I try to connect with. So.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful to hear. Yeah, and again, this, you know, with how in the beginning it can be quite overwhelming, and then the patience staying with it, and then gradually becoming more familiar, and seeing how the way that we are introduced to it, and the way that it's taught, and the way that the practice is, it's not, it is a nature of mind practice. It's not separate from nature of mind. So we don't need to think about it as separate. And that your ability to really allow it to be something that just strengthens your recognition of the nature of mind.
How does it, with the mantras, how, tell me, can you, what we're doing there with mantra practice, the different ones. It's not only the White Tara, but also the other, just the longevity mantra.
The activity mantra?
The longevity, long yeah. I don't have it in front of me.
So the first mantra is called the root mantra.
Okay.
So that's sort of the essence mantra of Tara, and that's what we are repeating while we are doing the different visualizations that suggested, if that's what we choose to do. This is also where we can just know that the wheel is there, and then we can let the mantra, we can recite it mentally. And just rest in the nature of mind and allow everything to arise from the nature of mind. And the essence of it is luminosity and compassion, right? The essence of it is nature of mind. That's the expression of it. So this is all what's happening. Mantra is that reverberating and just reaching everyone. So that's the essence of what we're doing. And then there's the activity mantra that we do. In the beginning, we mainly focus on the root mantra. And later we do more of the activity mantra. And our motivation is really, we want to recognize our own true nature. We want to recognize the Tara within. We want to recognize that we are Tara, so that we really can be of benefit, right? As long as we don't really know who we are, then our activity is also limited. Then our ability to help beings is also limited. So that's why we are practicing. That's always why we are practicing, isn't it? Understanding that Tara is not separate from nature of mind, but our wish, we take that particular form also because it's a form that's helpful, right? So we can help beings in a specific way when we are practicing, and when we are White Tara, we can help beings in a specific way, and that's also our motivation.
Good.
So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
And there are many different activities depending on the needs of beings, right? So there are many different mantras, there are many different yidams. The essence is not different, the essence is the same, but the expression is slightly different because of the different needs. So here we have some special emphasis or some special qualities, but it's all about the nature of mind in the end.
Okay, good. Thank you. There's a lot of sort of radiating light outwards, and then it comes back, is absorbed back into the Utpala flower or the Tom, and then radiates out again to the, you know, four. And then, and is that part, when we're doing the, like, mala beads, doing the white tara, you know, is that just naturally happening as we do the recitation? I mean, as we are counting.
Yeah, so we can, in our practice, we can have slightly different emphasis, right? So we can decide that this is what I focus on, this is what I do, and then we experience more of that happening, or we can just trust that this is actually what's happening. So we have that confidence that what is happening. But there's also something in really, you know, radiating out the light and in that way benefiting beings, and also reabsorbing, receiving all the blessings from the Buddhas or the blessings from all the elements and taking that in, so that there is this, it's called the two benefits, so we are benefiting ourselves and we're benefiting others. So that there's something in our, on a relative level, if we don't have that 100% confidence that we are white Tara, right? There may be still a little bit of us that can doubt, you know, for moments. And so again and again, to also receive the blessings and receive the essences, that's strengthening our, this experience and strengthening that confidence. And we are exchanging our usual experience of a solid body to come much closer to the way things are, so that we really have this experience of being luminosity and emptiness. So we have this experience of Tara is not solid, right? Tara is light. And so that is more and more the experience, also on a relative level, that we have if we don't have 100% confidence and we don't have 100% stability in that experience. Okay. So as we're doing that again and again, you know, this, we more and more allow ourselves to be in that way. We more and more get that experience of being in that way. So we are the solidity of the world and ourselves, and all of that is being transformed.
Great, thank you. Very helpful.
It's a very powerful practice in that sense also.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. And we remember that there are many different instructions for what we can do during the mantra recitation. And that's where it's recommended that we spend some time with the form personality instructions, you know, and then there also we do spend some time with the speech personality instructions, where we can work with the different ways of reciting the mantras or using the breath. And then also the mind instructions, which are really this resting in nature of mind and this pride, Vajra pride, that knowing that we are Tara and experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, some of the instructions are more easy than others, depending on our, you know, depending on our who we are. But I think for all of us, that if we spend time with some of the instructions, then gradually also we will begin to get more familiar with it, and we begin to see how they do work as keys to open to part of our experience.
Yeah, I've been working with all three, really. I sort of alternate, but I prefer mine at the end of the day. I do alternate because I don't, the first one, cessation, or no, anyway, the where the visualization of the different parts of Waitara mm-hmm. and the vision, that all of those, and then when you're breathing, you're doing different things, and it makes the mind a little more supple,
mm-hmm.
you know, and focused.
Yeah,
that exactly. part it does yeah, it exactly. really does bring yeah. a certain I feel like it's almost exercise in a way
yeah.
for the mind becoming just more, in a way, more settled but more focused, and then stable,
yeah,
I guess, exactly. stability provides.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's good for us to have the different instructions. And as you say, that there may be
mm-hmm.
some that we prefer working with, and we always also combine it with the nature of mind, never leaving that.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's very rich. It is a very, very rich practice in that way. So
I have other questions, but I don't want to monopolize.
You're very welcome.
I did. The other thing I wanted to know is, why a wheel? In other words, what is, I know that it is Tergar's symbol too, brand, but why is a wheel? It looks like the wheel of, you know, that you would have on a ship. Why is the wheel representative of this sort of generating light and energy, and it has the mantras encircling it and everything, but why? And there's eight spokes, I think, representing the path, but why is a wheel in particular visualized on the lotus and the moon disc?
Yeah, so it has nothing to do with Tara's logo. It's not because we have this logo that Tara is having.
Right, no, I know.
Yeah, so but it's true. It's there is this overlap. So this is the name of this particular practice. The wish fulfilling wheel is the characteristic of this particular one. That it's said that it's a wish fulfilling wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So each of the different aspects, they will have some symbols, symbolic meaning that's related to that practice. And for Tara, this white Tara, we have a wish fulfilling wheel. So that's why we have a wish fulfilling wheel. Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever. No, I never retained that knowledge. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. So I think we are at the top of the hour. If there are any other questions, we can certainly take them. If not, I think we will just allow ourselves to end here. We can end also. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. If not, we'll end here. So let's take a moment to appreciate that we had this time. And let's take a moment to appreciate your practice. Appreciate our practice. And forming the wish that the positive effect of it, that it may ripple out into the world. And that all beings may recognize their true nature. That they may recognize that they are no different from Tara. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Antonio. I'm glad we persevered.
Yeah, thank you so much for your patience.
Okay.
This will
Bye,
be a
everyone.
Day, don't forget. Bye-bye.